How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Deuce and Moe. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe. The podcast that you know.
Yeah. What we just witnessed in Sacramento tonight. What? An NBA Cup game in Sacramento that ends in overtime with Minnesota prevailing in a classic showdown, one for the ages, as De'Aaron Fox made franchise history. Kings have been around for 100-plus years. Total, De'Aaron Fox did something that's never been done. 60 points! An amazing performance. Rallied the Kings back from 20 down, 16 going into the fourth quarter, but Ant-Man and the T-Wolves had other plans. Big shot after big shot in the overtime session, and the Kings fall short without DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk, 130 to 126. They fall to 7-6, 0-1 in NBA Cup play, and now they get ready for a matchup on Saturday against the Utah Jazz in Sacramento. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Morgan, how you doing?
I'm good. Like we were saying before the show actually started, a magical performance from two studs out there, De'Aaron Fox, Anthony Edwards, and, you know, crushing that the Kings ended up losing this game. But at the same time, I left the arena not feeling heartbroken, just excited that I witnessed some great basketball, but also that we got to see the Kings come on back in that one, because I was not feeling good, man, when they were down at all. Like, I was not happy with so many things.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over in this one, but the lead has to be like De'Aaron Fox and the finish to this game, just a back and forth affair after the Kings got down big. It was a hideous start to the third quarter. 12-0 start for Minnesota, and it looked like it was all over early. But De'Aaron Fox, are you kidding me? I mean, we were raving about what he did the other night against Phoenix. Like, oh man, just getting in the paint, playing his game. I mean, he was the total package in this one on both ends, all three levels scoring. He scored 60 points, and he did it beyond efficiently. He was 22 of 35, Morgan Reagan, 6 of 10 from 3, 10 of 11 at the free throw line. He also had 7 assists and 3 steals. What, like, where do you start with him? What amazed you tonight about Fox's performance?
I think his ability to get whatever he wants at such an efficient level on the offensive end. You think about the way he was touching the paint, the way that he was confidently putting the ball between his legs, step back three, the way he was shooting the midi, the floater, understanding when Rudy Gobert was coming up on him, or like getting blocked at one point I think that was early on in the game when he got blocked at one point and then put it back up, you know, like got the ball, put it back up. Like there was just no quit in this man's game, in this man's mentality. And it didn't, it also didn't feel like he just had to be the one. He was down to get others involved in this as well. But it was just such a dominant performance, and especially thinking about them being down in the way that he got them back into it was absolutely magical.
And then he did it defensively too. Yeah. Just his on-ball pressure. And I think one thing that's most impressive to me about his performance tonight, without DeMar and Malik, you're wondering, all right, who else is going to create for Sacramento besides De'Aaron Fox? And that was going to be a problem. But with that, you know, Sacramento becomes a little more easier to defend in some ways, right? Like, and they, the Minnesota T-Wolves, have guys that you can throw at Fox, from McDaniels, who in previous years has had really nice success against De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
You have Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Jeez. You know, Ant-Man asked for that challenge late in that game.
Ugh.
Fox got all of them. And it wasn't just, oh, he had a hot night from three. Yeah, he was 6 of 10 from downtown.
Yeah.
But it was literally floaters at the basket, through contact, taking bumps, the mid-range game. This was a star-level performance from De'Aaron Fox. And to me, it all starts with him. When you touch that paint, touch the paint, and it opens up everything.
Everything. What it does to a defense when you have a weapon like that, it can just screw with the defense so much, so much. A good defense, a bad defense, however you want to look at it. The way that the defense would have to collapse, shift over, move, all the different things when De'Aaron had the ball in his hands was just incredible what he was able to create and do for his teammates on that end of the floor. And yeah, I loved everything about his game tonight. It was just so much fun to watch in person.
He had 20 points in the fourth quarter, Morgan. De'Aaron Fox outscored Minnesota in the fourth quarter. Kings held Minnesota in that fourth quarter to 17 points, 33-17. And they had chances, obviously, to win this game multiple times. And I think when you look back at this game, of course, you're going to nitpick a lot of things. Not much from De'Aaron Fox. I mean, the guy was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're up 113-109 in the fourth quarter with two to play. Lyles misses a great look. And again, the Kings had that one game with three-point shooting the other night where they hit 15 of 28. Tonight, they end up shooting 32%. And you're looking around going, could anyone else hit shots? The Kings got some good looks tonight from three. They didn't make them. And so 113-109, Lyles misses the shot. And then I think this is, maybe I didn't have the best angle on it. I got to see more replays. But the first Anthony Edwards and one that he got on that next play where they called it on Lyles.
You can say bullshit.
It was, from my angle, a horseshit call. Like, it was clear that Lyles was being grabbed and pushed into Anthony Edwards and one. And it's like, just like that, here we go. The game's, we're right back in the thick of things. And of course, then Ant gets another and one.
Which, I mean, it was a foul.
That one was.
And, yep.
But that one was costly. I also felt like in the fourth quarter, really in the overtime session, we both were sitting there going, why are these guys looking scared outside of De'Aaron Fox?
They were hesitating on the offensive
end. Keon Ellis.
Yep.
Keegan. Trey. There was one like hot potato moment where they were like panicking to get the ball to De'Aaron Fox, which I'm like, get the ball to De'Aaron, but also look for yours.
If you're open.
You can't pass up good looks.
Nope. That's exactly, it was in the mid range. Yep. It felt like it was like beyond the arc for a few of them. And it's like, I know sometimes like you don't want to be that guy that misses it on a possession. You can't have that mentality. Like that can't be your mentality, especially when you like the defense is focused on someone like De'Aaron. Like we know he can get his with five guys on him at times, but at the same time, you have to be willing, because if you don't show yourself as a threat too, you're just going to screw it up at the end of the game. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah. And there are moments like Keon passed up an open three tonight. Just good looks. And, you know, that's been a theme for him a little bit this year, you know? I mean, even at the end of the fourth quarter, it was frustrating, right? 115-115 when
that was going
the rebound. It was the ball was loose going out of bounds, and Keon went to like save it. And Conley did give him the slightest of like nudge, sure, but they're not going to call that. And you know, I guess Brown is saying he's calling a timeout. Keon tries to throw it in.
Yeah.
And the move there is you throw it off Randall. You throw it off Randall's legs and let's go. And maybe he felt like it was going to bounce off him. But I tell you what, off balance, trying to get it to your teammate, it was just unfortunate because had they controlled that ball, you get another look at it on the other end for the game winner.
Yeah. No, I mean, there was a few moments, a few possessions and plays there at the end where you're just like, oh, your guys aren't ready for this big moment. But the good news about that, they experienced those moments, those mistakes, because how many times have we talked about, wow, Brown's got to let these other guys play, get these minutes, figure it out. And he's been forced to do these things with all the health, with Monk out, with Debo out at one point in the fourth quarter. Sabonis had to leave the game.
Which is something to watch because Sabonis was grabbing that lower back. He left this game in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, oh no, the Kings are trying to win this game, and Sabonis is out. He left, went to the locker room, and then he ended up coming back when it was 105-105 tie game. But, you know, we'll see what that means tomorrow. But the Kings fought really hard to get back in this game. But when you lose a game like this, you look at every opportunity, and it was Minnesota's ability to hit shots too.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is the second time against the Kings this season where they have hit 23s in a game. The first one, they were 20 of 50. Tonight, they were 20 of 49. And that's with them getting cold in the fourth quarter, but they hit 3 of 3 in the overtime session. Some of them breakdowns, but there's also, like, Minnesota shot making in this game. You just go, all right, tip your cap, man. You're making some tough shots. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm not saying every one of them was... But, Morgan, there was enough, and you're going to have breakdowns in the game. I'm sorry, you're going to have breakdowns in the game where guys get open looks. I thought in the first half, I'm like, the Kings are in this game, and Minnesota's hitting everything.
Yeah, they were hitting shots with hands in their face, right? Yeah. Like, it was contested. It was looking good. And then there was a few others where, like, a nice screen from Rudy Gobert, and a guy couldn't get over the screen, and someone was just in a step too far and drop coverage, especially when it's like the urgency, dude, the ability to get up. I'm not acting like it's easy, and it's easy to be on and locked in every single possession, but it's like those are tweaks that you have to try and make when you play some of these better teams. And you knew that Minnesota was going to come out with a different energy, especially with the way that they just lost. They lost three in a row, but the last two was against Portland.
Yeah, and they were already 0-1 in the NBA Cup, right? Because he lost that first game against Portland. They had been scuffling, and they struggled to shoot the ball the other night against Portland. Oh, they missed, like, everything. And it was just like, you know, Ant was 0 for 9 from downtown against Portland. They felt like, hey, we barely lost that game. That was a game we should have won if we knocked down shots. You knew whether they were going to come out with a different level of intensity tonight, and they played like it. That they showed a tremendous amount of fight. And Anthony Edwards, to me, just looked like he was not going to allow them to lose this game. Like, he was like a man on a mission. The Kings threw everything they could at him. His ability to weave around guys and deal with blitzes. I mean, hell, the shot he hit in overtime that ended up being a long two in the corner where Sabonis switched on him could not have played better defense.
I know.
Could not. I mean, the guy's like falling away, contested, and he buries it. He is a star.
Yeah.
It was
so
amazing.
He has always been pretty damn fun to watch. But when his chaotic game becomes controlled, disciplined, and efficient, you love watching it against other teams. But when he's playing against your team, it gets a little bit more frustrating because it's just like, what's the answer? What do you do? I mean, at one point, I'm like, you got to get more up in his grill. And then they're up in his grill. And they're
beating. He's got handles.
And the other,
break you down.
The whistle plays in his favor at times. And I say this, there's times guys are being more physical with him and fouling him. But then when you just don't see it on the other end for someone like De'Aaron, you do kind of go, man, when is it going to be his turn as well?
Definitely.
So.
The whistle was definitely better in the second half. Definitely was better.
Oh, absolutely it was better. It was shit in the first half. Let's just say how it was.
Let's also rewind here, too. We mentioned at the top, DeMar DeRozan did not play. He left the last game with lower back tightness, and so he didn't play tonight. Malik Monk is still out. So we were wondering, okay, where's Mike Brown going to go with the starters tonight? I was talking to Morgan before the game, and then on pregame tonight, I'm like, I think you go with Trey Lyles. You know, obviously you can make a case for Keon Ellis. I just thought with the size of Minnesota, maybe you go with Trey Lyles. Then it caught us all by surprise that Alex Len was going to get that assignment. And so they go big tonight where they start Fox, Herter, Murray, Sabonis, and Len.
I was fine with the thought process of
The idea to me was like, okay, I think like defensively it can work. I think Sabonis can be physical with Randall. And like Randall's one of those guys that loves like lowering his shoulder, going hard at the rim and, you know, trying to draw contact. So you got to stay out of foul trouble. But Sabonis can take those blows.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Len, Gobert, okay, like he can handle that. I said to Morgan right before the game, I'm like, but the thing we have to watch is what's the spacing going to look like? Because they're not guarding Len. And the spacing was awful. I mean, the first couple of possessions, the Kings are getting late in shot clock because Rudy Gobert was literally just ignoring Len. Like, the Kings were trying to put Len in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first shot up for Sacramento was a Len corner three.
End of shot clock, yeah, too.
I'm like, oh, no, this is exactly what Minnesota wants.
And like, then another one with him, like, just, like, 10 feet away from the basket on the baseline. It was, like, and no one was in front of him, but he wasn't even a threat because it just, it wasn't the right angle at the basket. Yeah. What did you want him to do in that situation?
It was, like, it was so, and they were not respecting Sabonis's like shot either, because the reality is, even though Sabonis is shooting it much better and taking the mid-range more and he's taking threes more, you know, teams are gonna like say prove it to him. So the paint was so clogged every time. It's like Gobert's in the paint, like he's Alex Len is not a factor, and that just becomes such an issue. And Mike Brown bailed on it early. So Len comes out at the 6:19 mark when the Kings are down 19-13. You don't see Len for the rest of the half. In fact, the final lineup of the second quarter featured Fox, Herter, Keegan, Lyles, Sabonis. And I said to Morgan, I'm like, well, it's probably going to be the starters coming up in the second half.
Yep.
I go to the bathroom. My little halftime break. I'm running back. All right, see what this looks like. I get back to my seat and I see Alex Len on the floor and I go, what are you doing? What? I mean, this was before the run. I go, what are you doing? It did not work the first time you did it. It didn't work. You bailed on it and didn't go back to it at all the rest of the half. So why do you start it?
I didn't understand
it. And then what happens? 12-0 run. I'm not saying this is all out Alex Len, no. But the reality is, your spacing was off then, and why you went back to it, you needed to go with Trey Lyles or Keon, whatever, but that was not the answer. And then all of a sudden there's a 12-0 run, and what do you know? Alex Len comes out the 9:08 mark, Lyles in, and the Kings are down 70-54. So an 8-point game turns into 70-54, a 16-point game just like that, if my math is right.
Is it right?
Sounds right.
Okay.
Anyway, I just didn't understand that. It was confusing to me, Morgan.
Thank you for the long-winded breakdown of it. But you're exactly. I mean, you went into detail about going to the bathroom and stuff. But it's so true, because it did feel that dramatic of just the why is this happening? It wasn't good. And then when everything wasn't good, you still just felt like, okay, like let's just make a quick change. Let's figure it out. And when the change was made, the damage was done, though.
Yeah.
And this was actually very identical to the first game against the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Kings. The T-Wolves came out and had an 11-0 run in that third quarter in that first one. It was a 14-0 run in this one, right? A 14-0 run?
It might have gotten there, yeah. Okay. Because, you're right. It was 12-0, and then Ant had that dunk off the dribble.
Oh my God.
That was like a thunder jam where everyone's like,
I mean, there's people in the stands, like obviously a few T-Wolves fans.
I didn't know if they were reacting to that or like Mike Tyson getting like beat up tonight. I was so, I didn't
or
know
Mike,
what it was.
Or Mike Tyson's butt.
Mike Tyson's ass just out tonight on Netflix. And apparently that was a mess. Like the Netflix streaming kept messing up. I'm like, Well, okay, good job, Netflix. Like, yeah. Aren't you a streaming? Okay.
Thanks for mooning us all. Anyway, wait, was it after that dunk that they pushed it back up and Keegan had that three, though?
Yeah, impossible.
I think it was.
That felt like a little answer. But then they just kept exchanging back and forth. And then you get to the end of the third, you feel like, oh, Sacramento play a little better. It was like, well, no, it's 98-82 at the end of the third. Minnesota, through three quarters, was 16 of 35 from downtown. Sacramento, 8 of 27. They were just 2 of 10 in the third quarter. So outscored in that game through three quarters, 48-24 from three. Fourth quarter starts, and this was very interesting because Ant starts on the bench, and Sacramento just goes on a big, big run. By the time Ant gets back in the game, it's like, it's a game now. Mm-hmm. It's like a complete, like, it's early enough, and all of a sudden the Kings, from the run that they had, I think it bled over from the third quarter, they end up going on a 16-0 run.
And it was beautiful. It just felt like, it was a little bit of everyone, even though it was so much of De'Aaron Fox, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just felt like the energy from so many different people that had to even end up coming into the game. I mean, you look at Jordan McLaughlin ended up playing 17 minutes, and even his role of just being like, okay, take care of the basketball. Yeah. You know, nothing. It didn't feel like everything went downhill when he was in the rotation or anything. And I say that because you're going to have to look at that going forward as the Kings, especially tomorrow. It's a back-to-back. It's first night of a back-to-back. And you're going to look at a night like tomorrow and go, it's the Utah Jazz. You know, how can you utilize them? But going back to what you're saying about that run in the fourth quarter, it was magical. In the arena, everyone in the crowd was in it.
This one is what hurts this step. Uh-oh. De'Aaron Fox, 6 of 10 from 3.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the team, 4 of 27. And so I leave this game tonight and I go, I believe Sacramento is a better team than Minnesota.
Oh.
I do.
Just
I do.
That like that, but huh?
At some point, they got to prove it by knocking down shots. I mean, this game, yeah, De'Aaron has 60, but it just felt like if Sacramento got anything else from anybody else outside of him. I know Sabonis, he had 23 and 12, so he had a good game too, 10 of 15 shooting. He missed all three of his three-point attempts. But, you know, Keegan tonight, 2 of 7, did a great job rebounding.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he missed some. He banked in that three that was crucial in overtime, but then he had an airball three.
Oh, God, that was so. Dude, the
Herter tonight.
What?
I mean, we've been singing his praises. He finishes with 4 points on 2 of 7.
Yeah, and you look at all those numbers, and you look at a game like this, too, and you go, God, the Kings do have something. You look at this matchup, mm-hmm. and you just said it. You think that the Kings are a better team than the T-Wolves. I don't know if I'm there yet, because I think the T-Wolves will keep growing together, even with this new thing that they have going on with Julius Randle. But I look at the Kings, too, and I feel like they have that same type of vibe where there's something powerful there as a team, the product that they can play with, the style. They have certain weapons, but they're not executing in the main category. In the main category comes down to three-pointers.
Yeah.
And their three-point shooting has been just not there this season, except for
one game,
and it's truly been most of the story in a lot of these losses, because you're never going like, oh, they gave up and that's why they lost. Nope, they always fight back in wins and losses. They always are fighting there. Oh, they miss all their shots. They don't let it deflate them.
Yeah,
it's literally just not points on the board for them.
Yeah, and then like even tonight, like, you know, you're playing without DeRozan, which is significant.
Yeah. Right?
It's really important to what they do, and Malik Monk too. And that's where you're like, okay, how is this going to work tonight? You need others to step up. And they just, it was Fox and Sabonis. And outside of that, they didn't get much of anything else. And that's why you lose a game like today. And it's, you know, the margin for error is slim, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're playing some good teams. And I think that's where I leave most disappointed tonight, is like, now you're 3-3 at home. And you just have to build momentum on the home floor. The next two games, you get Utah tomorrow night, Saturday night. Markkanen is questionable. Walker Kessler's not playing. Like, you're at home. I don't care if you're on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, You got to win that game. And then you got to win Monday night against Atlanta. You got to go on a little bit of a run here on the home floor. And this feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. It's crazy to say that because they were missing guys tonight. But like, if you do the little things, if you don't overthink things offensively, if Mike Brown elects to like not start Alex Len the second half after seeing it not working, like, do the Kings win this game? And the details matter. That's what it does matter. And you can't continuously have situations where you're being dominated from three-point land, outscored 60 to 36 from three tonight, and then have guys pass up looks. And that was so unfortunate tonight.
Well, going back to some of the looks too, felt like in the beginning of the game, it felt like it was a little bit of Chuck City for a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like, and Minnesota's perimeter defense was fantastic. It
absolutely was.
They came out. And again, we said this earlier. We said this the other night. We knew they were going to come out ready to go because of how poorly at home the other night against Miami, they were up 8 with 2 minutes to go, lost that game. Then they get absolutely shredded by Portland in a cup game. Then the next time they play Portland, they can't make anything and they lose. This team the most games they lost in a row last year was 3, and that happened in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't do that all regular season. So it was like, all right, the odds are, even if they don't win this game tonight in Sacramento, like, they're going down swinging. Yeah. And that's what they did tonight. But the shot making, I thought early on from them, was fantastic. And the perimeter pressure that they put on Sacramento.
Beautiful.
Really impacted them.
You see the advantages of length. You go down the line from McDaniels to Alexander Walker and even someone like Dillingham, who only played 3 minutes, but even in those 3 minutes, I remember being like, holy shit, he's just a dog out there, you know? Fast. Like, he's just aggressive. And I felt like their standard, whether you're going to play 3 minutes or be a starter, is to get up on into guys. And of course, the only reason why De'Aaron's able to do what he's able to do because he's so effing fast, right? Like, he has a skill set that so many people cannot slow down, cannot stop. But I thought they did a great job on everyone else, really putting that pressure on and making them think twice when they were shooting the basketball.
Meanwhile, something that I'm going to mention, Orlando Robinson, who has missed the entire season. He got hurt during camp. He's been kind of inching his way closer. He got assigned to Stockton and he played for the Stockton Kings tonight. Mm-hmm. Stockton, the G League. They won their game. They're now 2-0, if you care. Orlando Robinson, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 8 of 15 shooting.
Let's go.
He also knocked down 2 of 6 from downtown 30 minutes for Stockton. So, I don't know. You know, the Kings have been searching for, like, you know, some more size. It's clear Len has been, like, in and out of the rotation. They played some smaller lineups. Apparently, Orlando had a good camp before getting hurt, so you wonder if, like, maybe he gets an opportunity even tomorrow against Utah. Like, that might be... I know it's the second half of back-to-back, second night back-to-back for everybody.
Yeah.
If you're good to go, why don't you play tomorrow?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's just something to look at. It's something to really ponder, especially, like you said, it's not necessarily having fresh legs, but it's just... Obviously,
it's a different energy. He's younger. He's got more athleticism. He's not afraid to take shots. He's got good size at 6'10". He's long. So, I wonder if he ends up getting some run with Sacramento tomorrow, because I think they could use a little more juice. I mean, the bench was a little disappointing again tonight. You know, no double figure scores off the bench.
Keon. What I need from that guy, I need a different, like, mentality shift. Like, I know I don't think things have rattled him with, like, coming off the bench since Kevin Herter's been back, all these things. I don't think he's rattled or anything, but I think I remember him doing this in Stockton over the years where he, like, just, like, takes a little cute step back because he's such a good guy and stuff. And it's like, no. You need to have a different kind of dog mentality in you, and not just on the defensive end of what you're good at and what you can control. Control what you can control on the offensive end too. Look for yours. And you can tell when he's hesitating at times. And this isn't just in tonight's game, but there's going to be more moments like this. And we saw it last year when he was in a bigger role, especially when he did have to start, he didn't have that same kind of presence about him. And so I just need him to, like, turn that on again, because it's in him.
And sometimes it can be in a person to have that And he launched a three, and I'm like, oh, that was good. That was an aggressive look. Like, take that look. That was in the first half, right? Mm-hmm. But then sometimes people revert back to maybe some of the habits they had before when a game is really tight, end of game.
Yep.
You're going, Fox is cooking. You're overthinking. And that's the problem. You don't want to be overthinking playing basketball in a tight game. You have to just play the game. You just have to go out there and do what you know how to do. And that is, when I'm open, I got a good look. That's take the shot. If you miss, I'd live with you taking that. But what happens when you hesitate? You pass it to Trey. Trey hesitates. And you're just trying to force it to Fox.
No one's going to say, oh, why didn't you get it in Fox's hand? If you have an open look, the trained eye is going to say, that was a good shot. Yeah. That was a good look. And there might be idiots out there that go, why didn't you get it to De'Aaron? And you just have to play your game. You have to do what you know best. And you've been playing the game at a high level for a long time. Just get it. Get it.
What a game.
What a game.
I mean, Minnesota was so fun tonight.
I know.
They battled. Julius Randle, again, against Sacramento, just... I know he ended up 2 of 7 from three, but last 8 games coming into tonight, he was averaging like 27 a game. What do you know? He gets 26 on this one and had some tough finishes at the rim. I mean, the Kings had problems defending him. You know, Trey, I think that's the other thing with Trey is just not in peak condition right now, like from a shape perspective. He's not. And you look at what he looked like last year when he came in the camp.
Oh my God.
Great shape. It's clear after that injury, he's not where he wants to be at this point. And I think that that's tough against some of these difficult matchups. And Minnesota did a really good job, I thought, too, of just like their hunts and mismatches. Like they put the Kings in so much action and trying to get Ant on mismatches. And then all of a sudden, you got a mismatch. That means, oh, got to bring some help over. And then the ball's just moving. It was just, it was tough. It was really tough. I mean, Conley tonight had a big impact. He had 7 assists, 14 points, 4 rebounds. His threes, although 4 of 12 big. Overall shooting, they felt so big they were in that third.
Daggers.
Yeah. I thought Naz Reid was awesome.
Yeah.
It's where Sacramento, you could tell, still struggles because they don't have the size. So tonight you needed more from other guys. And you didn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the story
of
what you see, even if you kind of look down the box score and everything. And I know some people out there, too, that will just, like, look at the box score and didn't watch the game. They'll be like, wait, De'Aaron scored 60 and you lost
that's the game?
That's tough, man. And it is tough. It's tough to remember your 60-point game was in a loss, but... It wasn't just like, oh, no one else can do anything. It was truly like, De'Aaron, just keep going.
Oh, yeah, dude. They had no way. I mean, it was just an incredible individual performance by De'Aaron Fox. And, we were just talking about, guys not stepping up enough offensively, passing up shots or missing shots outside of Fox tonight and Sabonis. We got to acknowledge, too, like, for them to get back in the game, it was like getting stops and getting big rebounds after missed shots. And I thought, although Keegan had an off night with his shooting, he was attacking the glass.
His
rebounding was big. Kings out-rebounded Minnesota tonight, and it took everybody,
He had a few big ones there late, too, where you were just like, okay, that's an extra possession for you, or that is a possession for you, And he ended a defensive possession. I liked those moments from him, especially with the way that he was shooting.
De'Aaron Fox, after the game, was asked if he has learned anything about himself after his 60-point performance. Here's what he said.
I mean, I knew I was nice already, so I wouldn't really say so. But, just knowing the type of teammates that I had, like Malik's, I think whenever I had 48, like we're in the fourth quarter, and Malik's like, you might as well go get 60. And I want this game to end in the fourth quarter, so I don't even want to have the opportunity to. But, a lot of all my teammates want me to keep going, obviously. And but at the end of the day, I think, to win these type of games, like, you have to do it, as a team. And, at times whenever I'm getting, like, Rudy pulled out and I'm not chasing the ball, guys are looking at me like, come get the ball. But, me being, kind of how I am, I'm like, yo, we have the best shot blocker in the league he's probably second behind Victor now, but the best shot blocker ever. he's standing at the three-point line. He doesn't want me to get the ball. Yeah. So as for me, I'm like, you know, go to the basket, touch the paint. If we miss, we more than likely are going to get an offensive rebound because he doesn't want to leave my body. So, but I already knew I was nice.
Yeah, De'Aaron just nailed it. There was one play where there was a switch, and I see De'Aaron go, no, go. Yeah. Go to the basket. And that's where the guys start overthinking things. And so that's what's unfortunate tonight. You know? It really is on that front.
You got to learn from those mistakes. And the team, the other players have to understand in those moments what they need to do better, the mental shift.
After the game, Anthony Edwards was asked about his battle with De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox bring the best out of each other, both of you just going at it. What do you like about going up against him, and how were you able to overcome what he brought today, 60 points?
I've been a fan of his for a long time. I mean, just watching him, I always felt like he was underrated, underappreciated by everybody. And he showed it today who he is. To me, he's one of the best point guards in the league, and he showed it, man. I was guarding him. He scored on me a whole bunch of times. I got a couple stops, so that's what you love about the game, you know, the best two players on the floor going at each other. So that was fun.
Cute. Love that's that really shit. Cool.
Two competitors going at it. Yeah. And that's, at the end of the day, losing sucks. We know this. But
that shit was
in November, the compete tonight, it felt like a playoff game. This NBA Cup is a massive success for the league. And now Sacramento's got to bottle up some of that and like get it going for tomorrow night.
Yeah. So I'm with you. And like you said, it's a short turnaround. You're down a few bodies. Got it. Let's monitor what is going on with Sabonis. And again, I keep saying that, but that's just like when you leave and then you just watch his body language after, you're just like, oh God, is he a little stiff? Is he okay? And then you have legs that were playing 44 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Keegan and De'Aaron. So.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Sabonis left and still played 40. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just...
Lyle's 41.
One of those games I will not forget. In fact, what's the moment of the game? I mean, it's Fox 60 points, and it's Ant-Man. Ant had so many. He had 36 in this game.
36. Both those guys just going like Ant just said, just the way that he talked about that with Joy. It was like, yeah, that's how I felt. I felt a little broken there the last couple of possessions. My heart, it hurt. Mm. But then at the same time, I was like, that was a lot of fun.
We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Sacramento. If you have not been to Mother downtown at 2319 K Street, you are missing out. Amazing food.
Amazing.
We're talking about world-class food, seasonal and local produce use, and passionate people making great food.
Yeah, Sacramento Kings fans, baby. In November deal, you guys bring in a photo of your mother or grandmother, dead or alive, and you can get 50% off your entire meal. We've already had listeners go in and get this. And I'm like, you're not just going into some random place and it's like, okay, cute, we're getting 50% off a meal. You're getting 50% off a meal that has won awards like a Michelin bib, okay? So go get it now.
Yeah, you could check out their menu online, mothersacramento.com. Go check them out, 2319 K Street in Sacramento. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Gold and One Credit Union.
I have a fun story for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
I had a listener reach out and she's like, hi, you know, I'm just kind of a lurker. I'm silent. And she's like, I just need to let you know, I saw that Gold and One was your partner and that makes me so happy because you need to let people know that when the Kings made the playoffs, just because I was a Gold and One member, she had won playoff tickets. And she, the way that she was treated with these playoff tickets, being, you know, being able to do all the VIP things and whatever, she was just like, it was the most magical experience. And it happened because she was a Gold and One Credit Union member.
Yeah, so many perks, Kings fans. This one's for you. Gold and One, of course, is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You get up to 50% off Kings home games through Gold and One's online discount ticket portal and all those perks that Morgan talked about. Make sure if you're watching us right now to scan the QR code on the screen to see Golden One's range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. That's how you win as one. Check out Golden One, creditunion.com. We're also presented what?
Nothing.
You looked at me weird. Are you trying to do the Rizzler
thing? I just did.
My new bit, by the way, at games. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
Oh, simply the best. Trust Northwest. Why? Well, because they have great windows. I just ordered more windows from them. Yes, I need more windows. It's true. And an HVAC system. In October, it was still like 100 degrees. And with the windows and the AC, I was so impressed and saved so much money. And you can too. And they have a lot of deals going on through December.
Yeah, Northwest Exteriors is offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports vets. Offer expires December 29th, 2024. And as we like to tell you, you got to check them out on their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan, Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
So one of my new bits at Kings games is when kids are like these young kids are coming up to the NBC Sports main area booth. Sorry, Morgan. They're always like looking. Sometimes they're like, doing kid things like dabbing and faces. And now I do the Rizzler to them.
It's this.
Yeah.
And they get so excited.
They're like, oh my God, that old man is doing that?
We're like, yeah.
Man, dude. I'm bussing.
Oh, ew, shit. No. Shit, kid. I'm bussing,
man. Yeah. Oh, anyway, who do you guys think is simply the best player of the game? What do you do if I was like, you know, Morgan, I know like De'Aaron, but can we give love to Doug McDermott tonight? He knocked on 2 of 4 from three. He's simply the best player of the game.
I would be disappointed and never let you do this job again.
Yeah, simply the best player of the game.
De'Aaron
Fox, a franchise record tonight. 60 points on 22 of 35. He was 6 of 10 from three, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, playing 44 minutes, playing great defense, 60 points.
What a performance. What a night.
Are simply the best player of the game, De'Aaron Fox, presented by Northwest Exteriors. Man. Our buddy Jason Ross had this tweet too.
Jason.
Kind of highlighting how efficient Fox was too. De'Aaron Fox, the final tally, he was 22 of 35 for 60 points. Uh-huh. The rest of the team, 26 of 61, which is like 40-ish percent, with 66 points.
Wow. Well, you know, you're going to need more. It's funny because it didn't feel like everyone just sucked. It just felt like
they missed shots.
Yeah.
But that's been the theme of the season, right? It's like, okay.
I know.
Like, you know, Fox, Sabonis, DeRozan are going to be guys that get you close to 20 every night. It's who else is going to knock down some shots? And so like that lack of consistency is challenging.
I'm with you.
I do hope DeMar can come back soon. I'm curious if he ends up giving it a go tomorrow, you know, because he could just be off until Monday. And honestly, if it's lingering into Monday, do you just have him be off Monday because the Kings don't play until Friday?
Oh, yeah.
You have that huge gap. I don't know. But like there were times, especially in that first half against that Minnesota defense, where I had flashbacks of last year when Herter and Monk were out and you're going, all right, Fox isn't on the floor right now. Who else is creating?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a challenge. That. You know, it's like it brought back those flashbacks. And so you're like, all right, DeMar, can you get back soon, Malik? Oh,
but even feeling that way, it's tough. I just keep going to, okay, you got to make sure you can trust some other guys. I mean, how many times when we were talking about the Warriors and Steph is sitting out and whoever else is injured or not healthy, whatever. And they're going down the line and they're still finding a way to win. You know, can you find a style of play and or enough pieces and depth where it does work in the NBA, where you can win some of those games if you don't have everyone healthy? You just want to feel like you can be that team. And I don't know, it's scary when some of those guys are out.
We should give some love to, I guess, the enemy. A channel called Wolves After Dark
gifted
five Deuce and Mo memberships.
You
so,
son of a...
You know, in some ways, you're just like... Hmm,
thank you.
Would you have done that if the Kings won tonight?
Appreciate it either
Look at
way.
Me trying to find a way to be mad.
I know, you can't.
Oh, yeah, would you donate those five subs to our people?
Take them back.
You just want to say Wolves After Dark, so we give you some love for doing a Wolves podcast.
Damn.
Yeah.
Man. I wanted that. Was there any point where you're like, oh, the Kings?
When the Kings went up 113-109, I did feel like, okay, they're going to win this game. That's what hurts about it. I did feel like they're going to win this game.
I had this weird feeling in me with Anthony. Anthony Edwards just has something in him that, like, you can't count out. But also because his ability to get the rim and draw a foul, I'm always like, it's so deflating when he gets those and one opportunities. And he had like a back to back and one.
Well, the first one, like I said, was garbage.
It was.
Randall literally shoved Lyles into and. They called it an and one. It's just it's ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
And then the second one, like we said, was a foul. Yeah. But then, you know, and of course there's going to be all these type of moments during a game. But the moment that Rudy Gobert flopped his head back, I wanted to go down there and do what Draymond did, you know, and just like, take him.
It's funny you say that. Draymond pulled some bullshit tonight.
I saw that he got ejected, or he got two T's or something.
He like got upset and held on to Edie. It pinned Edie's foot against his body. I mean, it's just garbage.
No, but Warriors fans would say no. But like, there was a reason he did that.
Yeah.
So weird.
So gross. Someone in the chat. 4C Bar was saying can't defend the three. Can't make a three. Brown issue or Monty issue. Well, you know, tonight, like, I'd have to go back and rewatch this game again and look at the three-point attempts. Some of the stuff early on, I'm like, I don't know. Like, they had some tough looks. I mean, Minnesota was, their shot-making was so impressive.
Yeah.
Did they get some open looks tonight? Yeah, they did. I mean, that happens every game. But I think it's some of the issues we talked about before with this Kings roster is, like, you've got Sabonis as your center, right? He works really hard. But the reality is he is not going to protect the rim as a shot blocker. And a lot of times he's got to come out and defend in pick and roll situations. Mm-hmm. So they have people in like different gaps to help with dribble penetration. So guys aren't getting downhill and to the basket. And when you have a Minnesota team with a couple of guys and Ant and Randall who love the ability to get in the paint and they're so good at making reads and passes, although Randall had a couple that were not good. You know, the help has to recover fast and close out on the corners or close out on the shooters. And tonight, you know, there were some instances where maybe they didn't do a good job of that, or they're in situations where they're not big enough.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think about that. Like we've talk to multiple former players about this, player whatever. When you get a guy on you that is shorter, and even if they're like pesky and they get up in you and they're physical, when you get to your spot, you know you're going to elevate over them, you're going to shoot over them, you can do that. Yeah. Like, it's just a size thing. And I feel like there's a lot of teams that have that confidence over the Kings, and that does become more of a personnel issue, right? Like, even if you are an individual defender that is like putting on that resistance, that perimeter defense, but your hands up in the air, but they can shoot.
Yeah.
They can shoot even with a hand in their face. You're doing everything you can. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And then someone in the chat was just calling us, bringing up, remember when Fox brushed Rudy Gobert, causing him to collapse to the floor?
Oh,
that when Conley hit the three?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said and one because he fouled Gobert. It's so ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
Like, he extended his arms, though, like De'Aaron did a little bit, where I can understand why it's a foul, but Rudy's sell on every freaking thing. when bigs try to sell shit all the time, like, I get it. I've seen Domas sell some stuff, but it just, when it's part of your identity, it's just annoying.
John says two things. We are too small and can't defend the perimeter. That's a problem. I mean, it just depends. I mean, I think they've shown the ability to do solid defending the perimeter. Fox is a good job. You know, Herter has had some good moments this year. Keon, Keegan. But, you know, when you're getting put in the action, it's tough, right? When you put two on the ball sometimes. And in this league, sometimes you have to pick your poison, right? And when Ant is getting downhill, you know, you don't want him to get into the paint. It's hard. He's one of the best in the game. And you want to show bodies. You want to get the ball out of his hands. And, like, just like the other night, Devin Booker. I'm not going to let Devin Booker beat us, okay? Yeah. We're going to make, they're banged up. We're going to make Josh Okogie. Josh Okogie can score 40 tonight. Fine. If Josh Okogie beats us, fine. We live with it. We can't let Booker. Okogie's not used to carrying the load for a team, right? Well, tonight, like late in the game, they find McDaniels for a three. Hit a big three. You recover. You try to contest it the best you can. In a tight game in overtime, do you want Anthony Edwards shooting if you're Sacramento, or do you want McDaniels? You're picking McDaniels, and you're trying to contest the to the best of your ability and live with the results. Sucks. And, yeah.
I saw someone in the chat say something about, like, I'm sad and depressed. Like, what a waste of a historic performance for De'Aaron.
Yeah.
And I understand that feeling as well. You know, like, I think there can be so many different mixed ways of going about this game if you are a fan tonight. You know, for me, I just go how I feel, and how I feel, I still feel good because of what I saw, I think, from him, but then also just from a basketball game and then the fight to come back. Like, you shouldn't get in those holes in the first place, all the things, but that's not what lost them necessarily. The game, we talk about the shooting and everything. And that's why I don't see it as a waste, but I validate your feelings and, too.
You know, these are the things that you want a game like tonight to be a huge lesson for some of the guys that maybe passed up shots or.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, you know, this was, you went to overtime. You were down 20. You look lifeless at times. You look like, oh no, this was going to be a blowout. You know, Conley's all fired up hitting threes. You're down big. And Fox carried you. And I think tonight, I get excited about Fox because I'm like, I feel like he's understanding after being challenged by Luke Lox a little bit. Like, I have to get into the paint.
Yep.
If I get into the paint, I'm going to have success. My team's going to have better success. It's going to allow me to get good looks. That's where I'm at my best. No one, he thinks there's not a person in the league who could check him. And to be honest, when you watch tonight against a Minnesota team that's got some legit perimeter defenders, he almost beat them. He almost beat them. And that's a great example. Like, they started to throw two at him a little bit, and he would somehow get the ball back and still make a play.
Yeah.
But he needed more help tonight, and outside of Sabonis, he didn't get enough help. And that's what's unfortunate. And you just hope that these guys can get it together, or you got to find pieces to surround your core to go to the next level.
Yeah.
But in a game where you don't have you don't have Monk and DeRozan, you still put up 126 points.
For sure. It's early enough in the season where, like, a loss like this, I'm like, damn. But, I mean, if we're talking 40 games in, how am I feeling then? You know, and if things still looked like this, we're probably having a different tone here.
Reality is, win or loss tonight, you need to move on quick because the Kings are right back at it Saturday night. Utah Jazz already in town. In fact, on the way to the arena today, like, is that?
Oh, yeah.
That's Jazz head coach Will Hardy walking around Golden 1 Center with headphones on and his deep voice just, like, probably thinking and about.
His puffer vest.
Yeah. How am I going to make it through this year? What is Ainge doing?
Is that what he's saying?
Will Hardy's
there's
voice.
There's a little Keegan in that, though.
No. There's a little Bill.
Oh, yeah. There's some Bill.
I was just trying to do a really deep voice because Will Hardy, I'm like 33 and, can I just get some pieces? Can we figure out what we're doing? Anyway, Jazz in town. Last I saw, Walker Kessler not playing.
Okay.
John Collins has been on a tear.
Oh, he just had like, what, 28 points or something?
He's been playing really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He makes a lot of money. If he made like 15, I'm like, can you pull the trigger and get someone like that for some more size? But, you know, Danny Ainge is probably going to rob someone for John Collins this year. And I'm like, really? And it sounds like Markkanen's questionable. Whether Markkanen's there or not, it doesn't matter. Utah is coming off a win.
Guards.
The other night.
Yeah.
Against Dallas. Luka was embarrassing in that game. I don't know if you saw some of the defensive moments.
Oh, like, I heard about
legit,
it.
Legit, like, not engaged, yeah, not sucks. Caring. Like, hey, Luka, if you want to be one of the all-time greats, you have the chance to do it. If you get in shape and take some pride.
You got to carry yourself with pride.
Like, yeah. What are you doing? Like, this guy, it's so frustrating watching him because he's so damn good.
I know.
When he's not even, like, trying to be good. If you just had the mentality to be great on both ends, you might go down as one of the best of all time. Anyway, Utah beat him. I'm not saying dismiss Utah. They got a day off. You just play an overtime game, emotional. The energy in the building might be a little different. There was a ton in the building tonight with Minnesota in town. You got, you know, the NBA Cup, the court, like all that stuff. You got to bring it tomorrow night and you got to handle your business. No more home losses anytime soon.
Oh, no.
How are you feeling about that against the Jazz?
I mean, I feel good right now, but like, I'm also just, what is it? Who's playing? You know, not necessarily for the Jazz, like control what you can control. Who's playing for the Kings? So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, Kings need to get on a run here because they've got Utah, Atlanta, Brooklyn, OKC at home.
Woo!
Coming up here.
Clippers away.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying the home games.
I'm
just talking about the home games.
Like, well, Clippers will be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an NBA Cup game next Friday.
Oh, snap. Okay. 7:30 start.
Don't you hate that?
What are they doing to us, you know?
The Intuit Dome.
What are they doing?
Final thoughts, Morgan? Why don't we get, because your voice is almost gone again, and you have a game tomorrow. We both have a game tomorrow.
The voice is almost gone. I'll be fine, but tomorrow. Do I sound like a mobster? I'll be fine.
I thought you were doing the Rizzler thing again.
Oh, does he do that voice too?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I think I'll be fine by tomorrow. She'll be fine. For the Utah Jazz. I don't know where I'm going with that. Final thoughts? Make your shots.
My final thought. These are the games why I love this sport. Basketball is beautiful. And when you never know what you're going to see going to a sporting event. And tonight, watching what De'Aaron Fox did, where it really didn't matter what they threw at him. He was like unguardable. Special. 60 points. And it's something that's never been done in the Sacramento era, in the Kings franchise history. You think about other guys with 50-point games. DeMarcus had a couple. Chris Webber had one where he, I think, scored 51 against the Pacers. They lost that in overtime in that game. Man. Kevin Martin had a 50-point game. And De'Aaron Fox had been so, like, he'd been stuck at 44. He'd be like, 43, 44. And Keegan had been giving him shit because Keegan had that 47-point game against Utah. And so Fox finally getting over the 50 mark, but then going to 60 and doing it efficiently and not doing it by, like, oh, he had 60, but he took 27 free throws tonight.
Or it was, like, garbage time minutes against, like, the T-Wolves bench.
Yeah, it was... It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then seeing some of the stuff Anthony Edwards did tonight, I'm just like, this league has so much talent. And to see two competitors just go swinging at each other, back and forth, just makes me appreciate the game. And now I'd love it more if they won, but they didn't. And you move on because we got a game tomorrow.
Facts.
Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Let us know in the comments afterwards how you felt about things. What do you think about De'Aaron Fox's performance? We appreciate you guys so, so, so much. We love you, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See y'all.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.